Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi. Wa na'udzu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlilhu fala hadiya lahu. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ومن يطع الله والرسول فأولئك مع الذين أنعم الله عليهم من النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين وحسن أولئك رفيقا صدق الله العظيم سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. My respected and honorable ulama, respected and beloved brothers in Islam, insofar as the Islamic calendar is concerned, we come to yet the end of another Islamic year calculated by the hijrah of our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When this month of Zulhijjah terminates, then we will step into the month of Muharram. This month of Muharram, being the first month of the new Islamic calendar, is a month that is sometimes misconstrued by some sectors of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this comes by and large because of the unfortunate martyrdom of the beloved grandson of our Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Sayyidina Hussein radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Many occasions in the past, we have spoken about Karbala, we have spoken about the martyrdom of Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu and the unfortunate incident that had taken place. But today, I would like to try to understand the Islamic perspective of martyrdom in itself. Is it something as Muslims that we are supposed to mourn about? Or is it something as Muslims that we are supposed to aspire for? When we look at the verse of the Quran Sharif, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about those groups of people, وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولِ, those who are obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to the Rasul, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ, then they will be with those people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has favored. Who are these people that Allah ta'ala has favored? As a matter of fact, the commentators of the Quran Sharif comment on the verse, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ, O Allah, guide us on the straight path, the path of those whom you have favored. And who are the people that Allah Ta'ala has favored? One group, Anbiya alayhimus salatu was salam. The second group, the Siddiqeen, the absolute fruitful people. They remain truthful throughout their lives. The internal was shown out by their external actions, their deeds and their words. And what was exposed, that exposure was the absolute of the internal. There was no difference between the external and the internal. Wash-shuhada. And the third group that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had favored were the shuhada, the martyrs. And then the salihin, the pious. Some ulama, when they make tafsir of this verse of the Quran, for our understanding, they made it an absolute simple issue that the first group, the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam, was that group upon which wahi had been revealed. The second group, the Siddiqeen, without any hesitation, they had accepted the wahi. The shuhada were those that gave their lives for the wahi. And then the salihin were those people who practiced upon the wahi. But be that as it may, here we will understand that the shuhada were those that were favored by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Now when we look at our Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself, we will find one hadith in various kitabs of hadith related with slight variation. The Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself said that I have this fervent desire that I go out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In one narration, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, my desire is to go out all the time in the path of Allah ta'ala, but in consideration for those who are unable to go out all the time, that probably they will have this bad sentiment in their hearts, that they are unable to join Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on every occasion. So in consideration for that, I remain behind in Madinah Munawwara, but the desire would be to go out all the time. And then that desire is heightened with the aspiration that I give my life for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. I am martyred, and not just martyred, and that is the end of it. But thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives me life once again. And after Allah ta'ala gives me life, I am again martyred. And again Allah ta'ala gives me life. And again I am martyred. Now such was the aspiration of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself. But obviously Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not fulfill this aspiration of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In view of the fact, number one, وَاللَّهُ يَعْصِمُكَ مِنَ النَّاسِ. In the Quran itself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had guaranteed an undertaking that, O Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we will secure you, we will safeguard you from mankind. That was the undertaking that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Secondly, there was an underlining rule by Allah that in the history of the Anbiya alayhimus salatu wassalam, there were those whom Allah Ta'ala had given the command of going out and fighting in the path of Allah, and there were those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not give such a command. So we will find that those Nabis that were martyred in the path of Allah were those Nabis who were not given the command by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And those Nabis whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had commanded to go out and fight, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always protected them from the enemy, so that the enemy will not rejoice overpowering the Nabi of Allah at any particular time. Now when we look in the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, many of the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had been martyred. And probably, if we take a random example of one such martyr, then we would look at the example of whom Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself had termed Sayyidu Shuhada Yawm al-Qiyamah Hamzatu, Sayyiduna Hamza radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, the leader of all martyrs on the day of Qiyamah. Now we know that he was martyred on the occasion of Uhud by a person called Wahshi, who obviously thereafter embraced the deen of Islam. After Sayyiduna Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu was martyred, his body to a fair extent was mutilated. The battle had come to an end. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam himself was wounded. He goes out in search for the body of Sayyiduna Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And according to the narrations, his body was found deep in the valley of Uhud. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam sees the body of Sayyiduna Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And he is overcome by sadness. The narrator says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam begins to cry when he sees even the earlobes and even the nose of Sayyiduna Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu had been cut off. When Wahshi's spear had penetrated his body, it penetrated from behind and he had come out from the navel, but then the entire chest was cut open. We know that Hinda tried to chew the liver of Sayyiduna Hamza and all of that. Now to understand the relationship between Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and Sayyiduna Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that many of us may remember this relationship as an uncle-nephew relationship, but that was but one relationship. The relationship was further than that. On the one hand, the age gap between Sayyiduna Hamza and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was about a three-year gap. And these two were also foster brothers. They were suckled by a woman called Thuwayba, who was the freed slave of Abu Lahab. He freed her on his elation, his joy, at the time of the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they had enjoyed this relationship of brotherhood. They were just not uncle and nephew, and even if they were just uncle and nephew, we would understand sometimes that if it is an uncle and nephew relationship and we are a few years apart, it is a very special relationship. But that is added on, that they were foster brothers. And going further, Hamza is a Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Hamza's Islam had brought strength to Islam and to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And to see Hamza in that state, one can understand the sadness of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his crying. Now, overcome by that sadness, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam vows that to avenge the mutilation of the body of Hamza. One was the martyrdom that was on its place, but to mutilate his body to that extent, I will take the revenge upon 70 of the kuffar. The narrator explains that Allah's Nabi takes this qasam. He is standing at the same place, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals the verse, وَإِنْ عَقَبْتُمْ فَعَاقِبُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا عُوقِبْتُمْ بِهِ وَلَئِنْ صَبَرْتُمْ لَهُ وَخَيْرٌ لِلصَّابِرِينَ. Allah Ta'ala says, O Ummat, look at how Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala had considered Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's emotions. There is no direct addressed to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that if you seek revenge, then you would seek that much of revenge as much as you have been avenged, not more than that. وَلَئِن صَبَرْتُمْ, but if you persevere, you tolerate, you make sabr, then it is going to be best for those who make sabr. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam breaks his qasam, pays the kafara. Now when he was so overcome with sadness, did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam earmark the month of Shawwal as a month of mourning for the martyrdom of Sayyidina Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu? When he himself aspired martyrdom, in his life so many sahaba had become martyrs, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, neither did he mourn and mark the dates of any martyr that left this world in his time. Rather, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had given glad tidings on the battle of Uhud. One person asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if I am martyred, where would I be? The person was eating some dates, he had some dates in his hand, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, fil Jannah. The person threw off whatever dates he had, and he goes into the thick of battle, and he gives his life for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, aspiring to go out in the path of Allah and give his life for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that was an aspiration. Once Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was on Mount Uhud with three of his companions, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and the mount begins to tremble. There is a tremor. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam tramples his foot forward. And he says, O Uhud, upon you remember that there is a Nabi, referring to himself, and there is a Siddiq, referring to Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and there are two martyrs, referring to Sayyidina Uthman and Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. So when we look at this, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not feel any sadness, did not feel any aversion to the concept of martyrdom in Islam. Now when we look at the life of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and we look at the last days, it coincides with these last days of the days of Zulhijjah. Returning from Hajj, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu gets off his ride, his conveyance, at night, and he looks at the diminishing moon. And as he looks at the moon, he begins to reflect at his own life. He beseeches Allah and he says, O Allah, like this moon is diminishing, so is the life of Umar ibn al-Khattab. Umar is becoming old. And now this domain, this entire Islamic empire is at risk. So hence, Allah, take Umar away from the surface of this earth. And Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu returns to Medina Munawwara. A slave of the Sahabi Mughira ibn Shu'ba radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Firoz Abu Lu'lu, who was a Majusi, Zoroastrian, a fire worshipper, He has a dispute with Abu Lu'lu, with Mughira ibn Shu'bah, and he brings this dispute with regards to his salary, his daily income from Mughira ibn Shu'bah. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu looked into the matter and he found that there was no need to increase it. When Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu further investigated Firoz Abu Lu'lu and asked him the work and the task that he carries out, he said that he is a blacksmith, a person that manufactures daggers and mills, etc. So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said to him, manufacture one for me. So Firoz Abu Lu'lu said to him, I will manufacture for you the best. He had something else in mind. Nonetheless, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu goes forth to perform the salah, and Firoz Abu Lu'lu comes from behind and he stabs Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu falls to the ground, but as he comes down, he pulls the hand of the Sahabi Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who continues the salah, that Umar may fall, but the Ummah will continue with their salah. And in this state, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu suffers, and then he succumbs to this wound. Now, brothers and friends, what is amazing is that sometimes we busy ourselves with the, if I may use the term, festivity of mourning, that we forget that behind the martyrdom of these great personalities, there are many messages that we need to take home. There are many messages that we need to bring into our lives. And look at the message that Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu brings to all of us. That whilst he is now the victim of this wound, and he is in the state of giving away his life for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Sahabi Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu visits him. And Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu obviously accepts his visit. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu makes the first statement to him. And he says, Amirul Mu'mineen, undoubtedly, you are a person of Jannah. And this, of course, is based on Quran. He is a Sahabi of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Secondly, you are a Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you remain by his side with diligence. And the third, in one narration, you remained with diligence by the side of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and then you ruled with absolute astuity and intelligence. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu responds. Now, when we look at the response of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in view of the fact that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, over and above the fact that the Quran has given him glad tidings being a Sahabi of Jannah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had given him the glad tidings over and above that in a gathering when he gave 10 Sahaba in one gathering the glad tidings of Jannah. And over and above that, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said on the occasion of Mi'raj, Umar, I saw your palace in Jannat. And Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu asked him, Ya Rasulullah, why did you not enter the palace? He said, when I looked in the direction of your palace, I saw your hoor, your damsel also there. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu says to him, O Abdullah, If Allah Ta'ala had given me this entire earth filled with gold and silver, and if I was to give all of this in lieu to acquire that Jannah, and if I still hadn't gotten that Jannah, then I would have been a true loser. Now trying to understand this, that over 12,340,000 square miles was under Islamic rule during the Khilafat of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. 1,036 major cities were brought into the Islamic rule. Over 4,900 masajid were erected. And Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu's feeling is that nothing has been accomplished, I'm still not worthy of Jannah. This is a message that he is giving us, that I haven't done anything. And then he says to Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas, O Abdullah, with regards to my companionship of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if Allah accepts that, I will consider myself fortunate. With regards to my own rule, if the good I had done and the wrong that I had done, and if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings it to nil balance, Umar is fortunate. In other words, he considered nothing that he had done worthy of acceptance by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we looked at the life of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the other shaheed that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam referred to on Mount Uhud, we know that the night before he had passed on, he had seen in his dream Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Allah's Nabi saying to him, Uthman, you have made niyat for your fast, for your roza, nafal roza. Don't break that roza, for tomorrow your iftar will be on our table in Jannat. Reciting and making tilawat of the Quran, Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu was attacked by the rebels and he gives his life for the sake of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So what mourning was there in the life for the life of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu? He left this world on the 1st of Muharram. What mourning was there or is there for Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu? But rather, there are these powerful lessons. Take the lesson from Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, an ayat that we often hear in the nikah khutbah. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu attaqullaha haqqa tuqatih wa la tamutunna illa wa antum muslimun. Allah Ta'ala says, O you who have brought iman, fear Allah Ta'ala, fulfilling the haqq of the fear of Allah. Never let a time pass in which we are in the disobedience of Allah. Never let a time pass in which we are unappreciative of the favors of Allah. Never let a time pass in which we are found being negligent of the dhikr of Allah. And do not leave this world except that we are submissive to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, we are fully submissive to Allah. On this, our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated, we leave this world, we die the way we lived. Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he lived by this Quran, he left this world reciting this Quran Sharif. So brothers and friends, let us understand that another year has come to an end. Let us take stock of our lives. What have we produced? What have we delivered to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What have we sent forth? Whilst the year comes to an end, let us understand that the moments towards our own qabr also is getting closer and closer. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq and the ability to realize and understand that we are getting closer step by step, breath by breath, to our own qabars. Allah give us the understanding that we need to prepare for our maut. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the reality of the hereafter. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala create ease for one and all of us. And wherever the ummah of our Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is suffering, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ease the sufferings of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.